Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I believe God will anoint this message to speak to you today, because we do have this promise in Isaiah 55:11. My word I will send out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. As you listen to this message, let the word of God penetrate your heart so it can accomplish all his will in your life. Enjoy this message.
Well, okay, I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to just talk again about how you communicate with us and how you desire to talk to us. We bless your name, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And as Pastor said last week, Otis and I are going to talk for today and next week, and we're going to talk about why prophecy is important. You know, people are afraid of the P word. They're embarrassed by the P word. But, you know, prophecy is just God talking to us. And there are people that would say that if you think that God is talking to you, that you have a mental problem. Well, I ain't trying to hear from that. I ain't listening to that. I know that God speaks. I know that he speaks, and we should acknowledge his voice in our lives. We should acknowledge his voice in our lives. So God desires that his people be established in present truth. Okay? God desires that his people be established in present truth. So I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1. And I believe that Miss Tina has it up there in the New King James Version. And that's great. Follow along with that. But I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And my Bible keeps jumping. It's jumping ahead in chapters. And he's making me mad. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Wow, that's good. I'm going to read that again. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth, present truth, you have been taught. So God desires that his people be established in present truth. Present truth means that we have an understanding and a lived experience of the doctrines that God has established in the church. That's what present truth is. I'm going to say that definition again. It is having an understanding and lived experience of the doctrines that God has established in the church. There are pillars that are holding up our faith. There are things that we got to know that we know that we know that we know and not be shaken from those things. We have to know that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to know that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the shed blood of Jesus, that he did this to cover our sin. We have to know that we know that we know. Another thing that we have to know is that all scripture is verbally inspired as originally written, and therefore it is infallible and inerrant. Infallible and inerrant. Those are two words we don't say very often. And basically, it just means that his word is true and can't nothing stand against it and can't nothing prove it wrong. That's what that means. That's what his word is. It cannot be misproven. Misproven, is that a word? It's fitting to be a word right now. It cannot be misproven. His word is true. His word is strong. And we even have Jesus, and one of Jesus's nicknames is that he is the living word. He is the embodiment of the word. You gotta know that you know. Now, so many pillars of present truth, our lived experience, are on our church website. Did you know that? I'm plugging the church website. Everybody today, go to the church website.
And does everybody know what a website is? No,
go to the church's website. Go there and then click on what we believe. And there's a paragraph that lists everything that we as a church believe. These items are our present truth. And again, present truth is having an understanding and lived experience of the doctrines that God has established in the church. One is all scripture is verbally inspired as originally written and therefore infallible and inerrant. And you can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We're not going to turn there right now, but you look at that later. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Another item, aspect of present truth is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is given to believers who ask for it. And with it comes endowment of power for life and service to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
Absolutely.
That's what we do here. That's what we do here. That's what we do in our daily lives. Amen. That is a pillar. It is holding up our faith, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us, we have power. And part of that power is prophecy. Don't be afraid or ashamed of the P word. It is to the benefit of all.
Come on.
And I'm not going to step on you. Go ahead.
I was going to say,
that's
all right.
Step on you. You go.
All right. You know, it's so hard for me to contain myself while she's talking because I try to be good and not step all over what she's talking about. One thing I will say before we drop into the still dealing with the present truth, but did you notice how she created a word? If she ever beats me in Scrabble, that's how she's doing it. Okay? So if you ever hear her bragging, she creates stuff.
I don't know why y'all laugh at him. You should not humor him in that way. You really shouldn't. He tries to cover his silliness with scripture.
All right, so I'm going to read with scripture. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's a scripture we've read over and over, but we're going to focus on verse 4 through 7. And again, we're talking about present truth. But so here in verse 4, it says, oh, wait, let me make sure I got the right version. I have several different versions, so let me switch. New King James? Okay. Darn it. Okay, one moment here. I forgot I had to replace my phone, so I had to download it. No, here it is. So this should be really close to what you have up there. All right, so in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We've heard this, right? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There's our focus on verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So check it out. If there is no manifestation of the Spirit, there is no profiting of all, right? It's another way we can say that. So Ivy already said, don't be afraid of the P word, which there are people and who are afraid of it. And anytime we take a portion of what God has structured for us to be prosperous and to benefit in, and if we can take a piece of that and say, well, that I don't think that's necessary, and I'll take that out. I don't think that's necessary either. I'm going to take that out. You don't have to lay hands on the sick. If God wanted them to be healed, he'd just heal them. Right? We got these different things. Any type of move like that is a part of the enemy's plan to keep us from being a prosperous church, a full and a whole church. So as we speak to you today, please understand that if we try to omit anything that God has set up structurally for his in his church, we are not going to be as prosperous. And here, there are some who do not want prophets. I mean, go to different places and ask them, have you seen a manifestation of the Spirit? Yeah. Now, understand, some places you may go, they may say, oh, the music was hyped. That's not the manifestation of the Spirit. The preacher hooped all day long. That's not the manifestation of the Spirit. Ooh, I got chills. They said some things that sound great. That's not the manifestation of the Spirit. Right? So there's places you could go today, and they may think they had to move, but the manifestation of the Spirit is not happening. And so what happens? The church gets weak, and it starts to die. And it does not prosper. Another thing to keep in mind is as we look at this scripture, it talked about earlier, the reason we went to verse 4 was so that we would not get to a place when we're talking about operating in the things of God. And of course, today we're focusing on prophecy and why it's necessary. But sometimes we can feel like, well, if I don't operate in that, I'm not as important. But here, the front end of this talked about there's a diversity of gifts, but it's the same Spirit, differences of ministry, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God that works in all of them, right? And so understand what we're talking about today might not be something that you manifest personally, okay, or that you operate in all the time. But don't think that means you're not significant, because we have different areas and God knows what he needs and when he needs it. But we're all operating under what God has for us. Amen. So here, something to keep in mind is, and I just have a couple bullets here I wanted to highlight, is that the fact that we do know God wants the church to prosper. We already know this. Right? Imagine talking to your kids and you tell them certain things. Those general things you tell kids about how to grow up, be respectful, don't lie, don't cuss, don't, hopefully we're telling our kids not to cuss, but, you know, when you go to work, show up before time, those type of things we do, God tells us certain things because he wants us to prosper. So if he says prophecy is necessary, look to prophesy.
Amen.
Embrace those prophecies in the church. So also understand the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we talked about, it enables the believer to hear God's voice more clearly. Hearing God's voice and saying what we hear is prophecy. It's a portion of prophecy. There's some, if you go through our class, which we're here to encourage you about, if you go through our class, Insights, we talk more about different channels of prophecy, which there's five, but these roll up. So that's why I say this is one portion of it. But understand, we have got to hear God's voice. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit, it enables you to hear him more clearly and to be a stronger witness for him. Amen?
Amen.
I'll give you a little example. It was so good. I got a chance to see Kevin and Dinah. Oh, my goodness. And I forgot baby girl's name. Michaela? Is that right? Okay. I remember. So. But they came to hear me play last night. I was playing at a restaurant in Nelsonville, and it was so sweet to be able to hang out with them. But while we were hanging out, I was telling Kevin, I said, some songs I play because I have a sheet in front of me. Some songs I play, even in this setting, God tells me, play this. I'm listening to God. So understand, being obedient and listening to God can happen and should happen outside of the church. I was telling them of a story just last night of me playing at a restaurant, and the same restaurant, and I told them how one time God told me, he said, play You Are, and this was like, geez, wow, this was probably 15 years ago. Play You Are So Beautiful. That's what he told me. Play You Are So Beautiful. So I played that. Now understand, we're not at church. We're in a restaurant, but God said, play this song. I played that song, sang it for this everybody there. I didn't know who it was for, but God said, play it. This lady comes up, and she says, honey, that was so sweet. I mean, she was probably 75, 80 or something. I don't know. But she was just so sweet, and she just said, Sonny, that was just so sweet. That was my husband's favorite song, and she was there. He had passed, and they were celebrating. It was the anniversary. Of their anniversary, and he had passed, but that was his favorite song. Now, she was so moved by that, and I knew God was ministering to her. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, and the only reason I bring that up, is I have so many examples of when God spoke, and I said something to somebody because he told me to. That's prophecy. It doesn't just have to happen here. And so we must allow God to move. If we cut that out, we are not being the church. We are not being full. All right, so I want to move on here. I'm going to talk a little bit about what is prophecy. And I know I discussed a little bit of it right here. But prophecy is communication from God. Prophecy is a message inspired by God, a divine revelation. Right? Sometimes you might have received the, well, I know here you probably received prophecies. We prophesy a lot here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's words that I've gotten over 30 plus years ago, and I'm still using those. I'm still seeing them come to pass. Years ago, a man told me I would be a prophet statesman and a pastor statesman. And he talked about me moving in governmental structures. He told me that long time ago. I never imagined it.
That was 30 years ago.
John Watson.
Yeah. Yep.
And Prophet John Watson in Marion Christian Center. But that was so long ago, I never could have seen it. He spoke a word to me that long ago. But remember, God said that he'll speak nothing in the earth unless he speaks through his prophets. And I'm not going to take you to certain scriptures because we got plenty of scriptures to get through. And actually, I better not run my mouth too much because we got a lot of scriptures to get through. But as you go and look at the different kings of Israel, they always waited for the prophet before they went into battle. There was one time where Saul tried to go out. Samuel hadn't shown up. And Saul said, I could give a word for us. I'll give a word for us to know. And he stepped out of line, and he tried to give a word to them, and he got buked, and they did not prosper like they were supposed to. But so, understand, God wants to speak to his people, and he does it through prophecy. Now, let's not get twisted. And when I say that, let's not get confused. Some people think, and the reason some people are afraid of, Ivy said people are afraid of the P word is because it's been abused.
Right.
People have misused it. Some people think, oh, I've got a prophetic voice, and I don't have to submit to leadership. So they go off. They do their own thing, and they think they don't need to submit to leadership. So they end up doing their own thing, and so they speak out of line, and it's not good.
I'm going to interject, Bae.
Go ahead.
I think it's important also to note in this moment that there's nothing wrong with prophecy. There's nothing wrong with communication from God. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is that we as people in our flesh doing what we do, we've messed it up. We've messed it up. We have not used the gift that God has given us appropriately. And that's the reason why people are afraid of prophecy. That's the reason why people are, I'm talking about Christians. Christians. We can't blame everything on the world. Okay? We have messed this up as a church. We have not handled it properly. We have moved in our flesh. We have said things because we've had an agenda and we wanted to work our agenda. But God didn't say to say that certain thing at that moment, but we had an agenda.
Yeah, she's talking about the church globally.
The church globally.
Not necessarily here.
Not necessarily here. Actually, not hardly here at all, which is great. No. but, you know, as a church, as the body of Christ, we have not handled it appropriately. And that's why many pastors across the country, across all denominations, have shied away or they try to clamp down prophecy in their congregations because they don't understand it, they don't know what to do with it, and they're afraid of what the people will do with it or how they will handle it, which in turn cuts off their money. I don't know why we trying to be act like there are some pastors that just do things because, you know, they want the tithe to continue. Let's be real. Let's be honest about this. But as Pastor Otis said, that the manifestation is for the benefit of all. If we are not flowing in this thing, we are not getting all that he has for us. And don't we want all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Don't we want all?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. So it's important for us to understand that we have to study it. We have to move and say exactly what he says apart from our agenda. It's so good you picked that song for today because that works. I just put that together, duh. But it's so important that we put aside our agenda and only say and do what he says when he says it.
Amen. So we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Good, you got it there, 16 through 21. Yeah, if you want to read it.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And this is the New King James Version. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
That's good. I don't know people who don't believe in prophecy or don't understand that it still is necessary when they come to spots like this, their Bible must, they must have marker and there's a mark all through it. I don't know. They must.
Or they interchange another word for the P word.
Yeah. So I don't know. But understand, it's talking about they spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it's not a thing, and we won't go into it too much right now, but when in our class, we talk about it's not a thing for manipulation. And that scripture we just talked about where it's the prophet of all is key, because it's not about being puffed up in yourself. It's not about being able to manipulate people. So when people are fearful of prophecy going forward, it's because people have used it to manipulate. Don't think if anybody ever comes up to you and say, I hear the Lord saying, you're supposed to marry me. Don't just do it because they said the Lord said. Not everybody that says the Lord said is telling you what the Lord said. Amen. You got to say it in the mic because they cannot hear you.
I'm sorry. I said on the side, you know, because we actually, Otis and I, we have seen this happen to some women over the years. A guy will come up to the girl and say, I hear the Lord saying that you and I are to be together and that we will be prosperous and we will minister and blah, blah, blah. And I said to one particular girl, I said to her, what's his GPA in school? And she said, what? I said, what's his GPA? And she said, well, I don't know. I'm in a couple classes with him and he don't come. I was like, I don't know, girl, because a guy that the Lord wants to bring to me, he gonna be smart and he ain't gonna waste money.
Mm-mm.
Find out what his GPA is. Find out why he ain't coming to class. You know, there's just some practical things. If we thought more in this direction when it came to prophecy, we wouldn't be fooled by bad prophecy. There's some common sense, natural things that we need to be mindful of. So, I mean, don't get fooled by silliness just because somebody comes off and they use the P word and they look holy.
Now, just as a disclaimer, because I hear what she's saying, you got to have the practical. But if you truly hear the Lord saying, get with somebody, you do that because God said, do it. Amen. And you have your, I mean, we can have criteria. And yeah, you want them to be able to carry a job.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to work.
But whatever, when God speaks to you, the thing is just be obedient.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, I know some folks right now, and this is not what the message is on, but it still deals, we'll do this more a little bit next week about receiving the prophetic word, but there are some people who have put parameters on how God can move. So when someone speaks a word to them and it's a true word from God, and God says, that's your mate there, if they're not your same color, you might think, I can't marry this person. I don't know. My guy's going to have big muscles. My guy has to be black. My guy has to be white. Whatever. We can't put those parameters up because at times God will say, I want you to do this, and it doesn't look the way you think it should look. So the goal is listen to what God's telling you and be obedient. And the thing about God is he'll tell you something and he'll confirm it. If you try to ignore it, you'll dream about it. If you try to ignore it, even the dream, somebody's going to be talking about it and your ears going to perk up. He has a way of keep bringing it around. So it's not one time you miss what God said and you're done. He's a good God that way.
Amen.
Okay. So anyway, in this scripture here that we were just looking at, it's important to understand you must embrace prophecy, not because you understand you're going to be good at it or you are skilled at hearing the word, but if you understand it's what God has for you, then you won't dismiss it. What we're trying to do is get us all to the place where we don't dismiss it and say it's not for the church today, but instead say this is something we really should get behind and practice. Okay? Because we get fearful when we don't know something, and a lot of people try to run away from it. But the truth is, here it said they spoke as God gave it to them.
Yes.
There's times that we have a word that God is telling us, and it's not just that we, it's not that we sat and cooked it up and said, oh, I know what I'm going to tell them. This is what I want to tell them, and then bring it. No. Sometimes it's like you get right there and God says, I want to say something to that person. You know, I was talking to Sister Deb earlier today, and she said something, and I said, ooh, the way I just heard something all in that. And that's how it happens. And so you don't have to worry about it. Just holy men of God, and when it says men, it can be women, but holy people of God go, and God will speak to them. You don't have to have a pre-crafted word, okay? All right, so I'm going to move on here. Communication from God is varied. And what I mean by that is sometimes we think communication is, oh, I heard. Somebody spoke audibly. No, communication could be written. Communication could be, I don't know if you noticed earlier today during worship, I was looking out and the dance was going on. I was listening to God. There was one spot, I'm trying to remember the move, but Sister Betty was over here and she was doing something like this. And God was showing me, he was speaking to me. So I'm saying he was communicating to me through those movements. And a certain spot where she was doing that, I saw the enemy being dispersed, like being beat back. And as she was moving, and I was just listening to everything. I was listening to what God was saying audibly. I was listening to what he was saying through visual. And so that's something we need to remember. God will communicate in various ways. He will communicate to us. It can be, like I said, through a dream, through vision, and all of this is backed up in the scripture. It can be through movement, like I just spoke. It can be the spoken word, and it can be the written word. So let's not put God in a box.
Amen.
One of the channels of prophecy, when we get to it in our class, one of the channels of prophecy is scriptural reading. Mm-hmm. So now the thing about that, and not to get held up there, but some people will say, but is that even real? How is that prophecy then? You're just reading the Bible. Does that mean I'm prophesying? No. Scriptural reading, when we get to that part, and that's what we call that one of the channels of prophecy. Scriptural reading is significant and it's prophetic in the fact that when we talked about present truth, it has to be able to present in the now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. God tells me, wow, Sister Tina needs to hear this certain scripture. And I go to that specific scripture. I read that scripture. I'm reading God's written word. But the thing that makes it rhema, or an alive word at the moment, is because it was necessary for the time we're in.
Yeah.
So I can read that word to her. Yes, I'm reading the word you could read any other day. But today I'm reading it and it has something on it. And that's why it's prophetic. So let's not put him in a box.
So one of the biblical examples of prophecy, let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to start reading at verse 5. Our dreams, God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit will speak to us through our dreams. So Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 8. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So in this dream that God gave to Joseph, Joseph saw that he was going to be elevated over his brothers. Okay, so, and he saw this. He heard this, he experienced it in a dream. And if you follow the rest of Genesis and see the story of Joseph's life, he becomes a ruler. And his brothers had to come to him. Oh, and by the way, they tried to kill him. They threw him in a hole.
Sold him.
Sold. Y'all got to read about Joseph. It's a good story. His life is amazing. But he became a ruler, and his brothers later had to come and ask him for food. So, God does speak to us through our dreams.
Amen. Also, God will speak to us, and understand, we're giving little examples, but it's all through the Word. God will speak to us through visions as well. And we're going to look at Acts 10, verse 9 through 15.
Okay. Acts chapter 10. Verses 9 through 15, and we're talking about God speaking through visions, okay? A vision is a dream that you have when you're awake. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now, in this vision or trance, these things still happen today. Honestly, you've probably seen it happen with me. God speaks to me through trances. And I didn't look scary. You may not even know what was happening. So don't be afraid of the P word. Don't be afraid. It doesn't have to be spooky, and it doesn't look scary when it's done correctly. Amen? Amen. So in this trance that the Lord gave to Peter, he was trying to tell him that, look, what I put in front of you, eat it and be glad about it. That's what he was just telling him. I mean, I'm just being really plain. He put all this stuff in front of him and he said, eat it. And what I say to is clean is clean. And through this vision, and because Peter listened and was obedient, he went to a group of Gentiles, which I have to tell you, in that day, Jews and Gentiles did not mix. Jewish men, especially, they believed that socializing or even going to the home of a Gentile for dinner was a sin. So for Peter to go and minister to these Gentiles was a pretty amazing thing, because they considered Gentiles to be dirty. They considered Gentiles to be unclean. And because Peter was obedient, and because the Lord made his heart ready through this trance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell upon this group of Gentiles. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell upon this group of Gentiles. So not only were this group of people, the group of Gentiles, blessed, but also God changed the paradigm of the Jew and saw that, oh, wow, the baptism of the Holy Spirit can fall on me as a Jew, and it can fall on the Gentile. So maybe they aren't as unclean as I think that they are. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is, we're going to have to do something with that later. I don't know why I think I'm whispering. I'm holding the mic.
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about.
I was whispering to it.
She'll say stuff like, we got to do something with that. I'm like, what? What are we talking about?
We're finna do something with that later. Okay. But you know, trances, the benefits of trances, the benefit of visions, the benefit of dreams, they are paradigm shifting. Allow that to happen in your life. If it is happening in your life, you should have a journal. You should have a journal and you should be writing those things down because they are for the benefit of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen.
Let me tell you real quick, too, with these two examples that we use, it should illustrate also that it's not always something you want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not something that you want there. Joseph, he shared what he saw in his dream, but it gave him all kinds of hardship he had to go through. At some point, he got to a good place. Yeah. And even here, as you're looking at Peter having to go and speak to someone he doesn't really want to speak to. You've heard Pastor Rob up here talk about when God called him and he said he didn't really want to be a pastor. You don't really just go out and say, I want to be a pastor. Okay, not because they don't enjoy being obedient to God, but God calls you to things not because he thinks you're going to have fun.
Right.
But because he has a purpose, he wants to get done. And then you find out in doing that, being obedient, then you find the fun. But it's not initial, you know. So don't get me wrong. I mean, ministering is awesome. But you don't think about that. If God says go, you say, okay. And then he tells you, you might die. You know, you could get hurt. Trust me. I'm with you. You know, whatever. So anyway, let's move on. Yeah, we're running out of time. We had a couple other scriptures, which we'll tell you a couple other scriptures. We won't go into them, but to deal with movement. Jeremiah, and you can write this down, Jeremiah in chapter 13, 1 through 11. And I know you've heard Jeremiah 1, but over and over, but there's some things there regarding movement that you can look at.
This is where God was speaking to Jeremiah, and it's the symbolism of the sash. And God speaks to Jeremiah, and he says, go put it here. Go dig a hole and put it here. Put it under this rock. So read through that. There are times where God will literally say, walk 7 steps to the right. And you need to walk exactly 7 steps to the right.
Because he's trying to, God knows why he wrote a script.
Right.
He knows who's seeing.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
You know? And so we just be obedient and do what he told us to do.
And be quick about it.
Another spot of when God gives a word that it needs to be spoken, you can find in 2 Chronicles 20. This is one of my favorite stories because it's dealing with Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but basically kingdoms came against them. They were fearful. Jehoshaphat called a fast. Everything, cattle, livestock, everything went on a fast, and they sought God's face. And it's in that scripture that Jehaziel got a word from God, and he spoke to everybody. It was you got a prophetic word. God spoke and through the man and spoke to the people and told him, stand still, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. It's my battle, I'll fight it for you, and he did.
And this man's name was Jehaziel. How many people have heard of Jehaziel?
Just from the scripture,
he's not like a common character. He ain't a Daniel. So understand that you don't have to be what we think of as up here to be used by the Lord. Jehaziel brought a word to the king, and it was pivotal, the word that he brought. So nothing, no one, when whatever God says, whoever he says it to, never should you think, oh my goodness, he can't be telling me to go say this to Pastor Rob. Are you serious? Yes, he's saying that to you, and Holy Spirit is saying, yes, I'm serious. Okay, because you don't know if what you are going to say is going to be how it's going to be used in that moment. Just be obedient and say what you're supposed to say. I have had so many people over the years in our congregation come up to me and say, you know, I believe I heard the Lord say this today. And, you know, I try to not put my hand on my hip, but on the inside, my hand's on my hip saying, why didn't you come and bring that word? Why? It needed to be said, and it needed to be said by you. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, this is a phrase we say all the time in the church. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Okay? There's no junior Holy Spirit. If he's talking to you, he's talking to you. Come up and say what he says. Okay? And we have wonderful situations here where, you know, we ain't gonna throw you out on the limb. Pastor Rob will say, what do you hear the Lord saying? And he's not gonna push you and say, go. He's gonna hear and listen to you. And then he's gonna tell you, okay, I hear what the Lord is saying through that.
And then he might understand if you have a word, and he might say, hey, write that down. He may say, please share that now. Mm-hmm. Or he may say, thank you. We'll take that in, under advisement.
And so I'll take that to the elders. Yeah.
If you have a word and it doesn't play out the way you thought. Oh, he didn't let me get up on the stage. Again, it's not about us.
Yes, that's right.
And I tell pastor all the time. And I've been recognized as a prophet other places, gone places. People have invited me in. But guess what? If I have a word here and Pastor Rob says, I don't want you to bring it, I am not hurt. I told him I had a word. If he didn't want me to bring it, that's all right. I am not going to be offended because it's not about me.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. Mm-hmm. The last piece we'll share here, because I realize we're running out of time, is when we talked about another way that the word is a prophecy takes place, and we talked about it being written. You have a situation here in Daniel 5, which the whole chapter is good.
Oh my gosh, you have to read this. It's so intriguing.
Dealing with Belshazzar.
Yeah, it's better than any movie you could watch.
And basically it's where the writing is on the wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And God speaks to them. You know, I love it when God just comes and does the stuff he does all through the scripture is just amazing. But such meaty, good nuggets in that chapter when you look at it. All the way to the testimony of the Hebrew boys, Daniel and his brothers, and who they established themselves to be. They had a reputation so much that when Belshazzar's mom was able to instruct him, I know somebody, I think it was his mama, Nebuchadnezzar's son, I believe. Yeah. Want to make a bet?
Yeah, not teasing. I do want to make a bet. I want to bet on that.
All right. So I already got my flat screen, my 85-inch from, that wasn't a bet. But anyway, I'll go back and check that right now. We don't have time to get into it right now. But anyway, there was a testimony about it and said, go see Daniel. He's able to tell you what, and boom. Daniel was able to tell what happened. She's going to look it up, right? All
no,
right.
No, this is funny. Okay, you know how he told that Scrabble story? Y'all, he wrote the word Scrabble on the corner of this paper. So I don't know what you think you have in store later, but I don't even understand that, but whatever. But later, go ahead and read Daniel chapter 5. Read the entire chapter because... I wanted to be able to read this today, but it's very stirring about how when you know the right thing to do, you were raised the right way, and you didn't do what you were supposed to do, there's some consequences to that. And the writing on the wall were the consequences. And Daniel, because of his wonderful reputation for hearing the voice of the Lord, he came and interpreted the writing that was on the wall. And Belshazzar's kingdom fell that night. He was murdered. And his kingdom fell that night, and the Medes and the Persians took over the kingdom. So,
go ahead.
I really sense that there are some people that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is so crucial to prophecy. It's so crucial in being able to and enabling us to hear the voice of the Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. It fills your life. It expands your life. It's nothing to be afraid of, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's one of the wonderful gifts that God has given to his people. Yeah, amen. It's one of the wonderful things that he's given to us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes us to where God is instantaneously. You know, you just pray and you are where he is and you can hear him talking. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you need it. You need it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Internet family, we just want to thank you for being here with us this morning. And we pray that God just blesses you. If you, internet family, desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just put it on the page and I'm gonna call you. And we will get it done over the phone. Because Holy Spirit is everywhere all the time. And me not being in front of you, it will not block Holy Spirit from moving. So put that on the page and I will call you and you will receive the baptism of Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen. So if you are not baptized in Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about talking in tongues. If you are not baptized in Holy Spirit, this is an opportunity for that to happen. And to be real frank about it, it's easy peasy. Easy peasy. We'll just pray and we'll get it done and you'll walk out of here with the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So if you desire that this morning, if you desire to instantaneously be where God is, to instantaneously be in the room with Holy Spirit, come now and we'll get this done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.